We're indeed proud to present that lovely and distinguished actress, Claudette Colbert, who tonight is making her 24th appearance on the radio theater. We have chosen Emlyn Williams' deeply moving play, The Corn is Green, for this illustrious occasion. And as Miss Colbert's co-star, we present that fine young actor, Cameron Mitchell, making his first appearance on our stage. Now, Act One of The Corn is Green, starring Claudette Colbert as Miss Moffat and Cameron Mitchell as Morgan Evans. The Welsh countryside, some 50 years ago, an obscure village called Glenfarnold. There's an old house in Glenfarnold, long empty, and on this spring afternoon, the new owner has just arrived. Her name is Miss Moffat, and she's come filled with hopes and determination to open up a school. Waiting for her are two of the villagers, the dour Mr. Jones and the stuttering timid Miss Thunberry.
So I trust you will find everything in order, Miss Moffat. I will go now.
No, please wait, Mr. Jones. You too, Miss Thunberry. Oh, I do thank you both. You've arranged my things splendidly, but I want very specially to talk to you.
Yes? Excuse me, Miss Moffat. Are you saved?
I beg your pardon?
Are you church or chapel?
I really don't know. Now then, before Mrs. Watty gets
here. Mrs. Watty?
My housekeeper. She and her daughter are coming from the station with my baggage. Tell me, what's that large, empty building next door?
It is the old barn belonging to the Gwalior farm before the farm was burned down.
Then it's for rent or for sale.
I would think so.
But what has that to do with you, Miss Thornberry? I'll tell you. We have mutual friends in London, Miss Thornberry. They've told me that you live alone, that you have just enough money, you're educated, and time hangs heavy on your hands.
Oh, how horrid of them.
But isn't it so?
Not at all. When the right gentleman appears, I shall...
Miss Thornberry, if you're a spinster well on in her 30s, that right gentleman is not coming.
Oh.
He's lost his way. So why don't you face the fact and enjoy yourself as I do?
But a woman's only duty is to marry, and haven't you ever been in love?
No.
How very odd.
I've never talked to a man for more than 5 minutes without wanting to box his ears. Which brings me to you, Mr. Jones.
My conscience is as clear as the snow.
Oh, I'm sure it is. The Wingroves told me all about you, too. You're a disappointed man, aren't you?
How can I be disappointed when I'm saved?
Oh, but you can. You're frustrated, Mr. Jones, so you fall back on being saved. Am I right?
It is such a terrible thing you have said. But I will have to think it over.
Do. But in the meantime, you can stop loafing and be very useful to me. Now, how many families are there around here?
30 families in the village and 15 in the farms around.
Many children.
Oh, children. Here they are children only until they are 12. Then they go to work in the coal mine, and in 1 week they are old men.
How many of them can read and write?
Next to none.
Why do you ask?
Because I'm going to start a school for them.
A school for them? What for?
What for? These students' books, Miss Thornberry. Hundreds of them, and something wonderful to read in every single one. When I heard this part of the world was a disgrace to a Christian country, I knew this house was a godsend. I'm going to start a school in that barn next door, and you are going to help me.
Oh, I couldn't keep those children. I couldn't. They smell.
If we'd never been taught to watch, so would we. As for you, Mr.
I am a solicitor, clerk. I earn 33 shillings a week.
I'll give you 34 in your lunch. My uncle left me a little money, as well as this house, and I know exactly what I'm going to do with it.
But those children in the mine earn money? How can they afford...
Oh, I'll pay their parents the few miserable pennies they get out of it. And when I finish with you, Miss Thornberry, you won't have time to think about snapping up a husband. And you, Mr. Jones, won't have time to be so pleased that you're saved. Well?
I do not care if you are not chapel. I am with you.
Good. Now sit down. I'll tell you exactly what I have in mind.
I disturb your supper, Miss Moffat.
No, no.
But the boys for the evening class, they are in the yard.
Did they write their essay?
I don't know, Miss Moffat. One of them has a bottle of rum.
I'll take care of them. Never mind my tea, Mrs. Watty.
Ain't you going to finish supper?
Later,
we're walking later. See that clinker, that's what. A clinker.
Oh, Miss Moffat is a very unusual woman, Mrs. Waddy.
Terrible strong will, of course. Terrible. She would bring me and Bessie here. I said no, I said. Not for my past, I said.
Your past?
Before she took me up. But now that I joined the corps, it's all blotted out.
The corps?
The Militant Righteous Religious Corps. Ran into him in the street, I did. Singing and praying and collecting, all blast. I've been a different woman ever since. Are you safe?
Yes, I am.
So am I. Ain't it lovely?
But what was your past?
Like fingers.
Healing?
Everywhere I went. Terrible. All right, Bessie. Now get in here and clear the table before I end.
First thing you boys will do is to go to the pump and wash yourselves. This is my home. It's not a coal mine. Did you understand what I said?
Oh, yes, miss. Thank you. Good. Please, miss. First, can I have a kiss?
What did you say?
Please, miss. First, can I have a kiss?
Of course you can. Can I oblige anybody else? Very well, then. Just see that you wash.
Please, miss. Can I have a snack for them, too?
How are you, Mr. Downs? Mom says I must clear the supper dishes. Mr. Downs? Is it true the school idea is not going on that well?
Who told you that, Betsy, dear?
You've been here 6 weeks now and nothing's hardly even started.
Everything is splendid.
Oh, I'm glad. Miss Moffat's been cruel to me, but I don't bear no grudge.
Cruel to you?
The ice and the sweeties. She told me they're bad for me. Mr. Downs, you like my hair?
It's very becoming. Mm-hmm. You're quite a young lady, Betty.
I am. Mr. Jones?
Oh, yes, Miss Moffat. Oh, the boys are they still out there?
It's not the boys I'm concerned about. It's the carpenter.
The carpenter?
He just stopped by. When I asked him when he was going to start work on the barn, he told me he has strict orders not to even discuss it.
Who gave the order, Miss Moffat?
That's what I want to know. First, that letter from the squire. No child can be released from the mine. Then a request from the tavern in the village. A school would interfere with beer drinking. A message from the chapel people to the effect that I'm a foreign adventuress with cloven feet. Oh, it's been quite a day.
Well, I will go and speak to the boys, Miss Moffat.
Poor Jonesy, he's terrified of the older one.
Oh, so am I. It's big trees and bluffs.
Oh, dear teacher, remember me?
Oh, Miss Moffat, it's quiet service, isn't it?
Tell us what it is, lady.
Would you mind going outside, Squire, then knocking and waiting quite a long while before I say come in?
Oh, telephone. Oh, again, Squire.
Miss Moffat, it's the Squire. Oh, just look at me.
Mr. Trevorby, I'm rather irritable this evening, so unless there's a reason for your visit.
Oh, but there is. A certain gent has just been dining with me, madam. Sir Herbert Reeser.
Yes?
He's decided he has no use for the barn next door, but he does not see it as a school, so he must regretfully, etc., etc.
But he's implied all along he'd be glad to sell it.
Then some big wig must have made him change his mind, eh, dear pedagogue?
You?
Yeah.
Again?
Guess it right off. Not going to have any of this hasty-panky nonsense in my village.
Your village?
My village. All my life, I've done my level best for him. They call me Squire, you know. Term of affection. Jolly touch, eh? Oh, they jab away in that funny Welsh lingo, but bless their hearts, it's a free country. But putting them up to reading English, giving them idea, well, more people like you, you know, and England will be a jolly dangerous place to live in. What's the idea, I say? What's the idea?
I'm beginning to wonder myself.
So, why don't you take up croquet, Miss Moffat? Keep you out of mischief. Oh, the enchanting is wrong there.
Oh, Squire! But you're not leaving.
Wait a minute. Oh. You're the Squire Bountiful, are you? Adored by his contented subjects. Intelligent and understanding.
Well, I should like to point out there is a considerable amount of dirt, ignorance, misery, and discontent abroad in this world, and that a good deal of it is due to people like you.
Croquet, dear lady. Petty, perhaps.
You're a stupid, conceited, greedy, addle-headed nincompoop. And you can go to Blue Blazing.
I perceive, madam, that you have been drinking. Adieu, Miss Rondere.
Oh, dear.
Well, that was undignified, I know, but I feel better for it.
Well, he must have given you cause, I suppose.
Oh, he was kind as itself. He's merely persuaded Sir Herbert not to leave and not to sell the barn.
What will you do, Miss Moffat?
Sell the house. Take this brainchild of a ridiculous spinster and smother it. What are these filthy exercise books doing on my desk?
Well, those hooligans outside. They said last night that Mr. Jones had picked him out because he could write English, and would I mind my own some dreadful word business?
Oh. Yes, the essays. How I would spend my holiday. I must have been mad.
Listen to this one. If I have ever holidays, I have breakfast in bed and talk. Then dinner and rest. Tea, then nothing. Then supper. Then I talk and I go sleep.
From sheer exhaustion, I suppose. Look, this one is illustrated.
But what's it supposed to be?
A bicycling tour. With me in bloomers. Oh, your squire was right, Ron. I've been a stupid, impractical ass, and I can't imagine how I ever...
Yes, Miss Moffat?
Well, listen to this. The mine is dark. If a light come in the mine, the rivers in the mine will run fast with the voice of many women. The walls will fall in, and it will be the end of the world.
Well, we have washed it to poop, miss.
So the mine is dark. But when I walk through the... There's something... Shaft, I think, yes. When I walk through the shaft in the dark, I can touch with my hands the leaves on the trees and underneath where the corn is green.
Well, go on reading.
There is a wind in the shaft. The carbon monoxide they talk about. It smells like the sea, only like as if the sea had fresh flowers lying about. And that is my holiday. Who wrote this, Miss Rondere?
The matter with it?
Did you write this?
What's the matter with it?
Take your cap off. The spelling is deplorable. Mine with two N's and leaf, L-E-S-S.
Well, what was it by right?
A V for one thing.
I never heard of no V's, miss.
And don't call me miss.
Oh, are you not a miss?
Yes, I am, but it's not polite.
Oh.
You say yes, Miss Moffat, or no, Miss Moffat. M-O-S-S-A-T.
No V's.
No V's. Where do you live?
Tinnamoyne, Miss Moffat. 4 miles from here.
And how big is it?
Oh, 4 horses on a beer horse.
Have you any hobbies?
Oh, yes.
What?
Business. Room.
Put that bottle away. Do you live with your parents?
No. No, by my own self. My mother's dead, my father, and my 4 big brothers were in the big shaft accident when I was 10 years.
Still?
Oh, yes. Everybody was.
Who taught you to read and write?
Taught.
Taught. The verb to teach.
Oh, teach.
Who taught you?
I did.
Why?
I don't know. Can I go now?
No. Now tell me, do you want to learn any more?
No, thank you.
Why not?
The others would have a good laugh.
Oh, I see. Have you ever written anything before this exercise?
No.
Why not?
Nobody never asked me to. What's the matter with it?
Nothing's the matter with it. It shows you may be very clever.
Oh.
Have you ever been told that before?
No, it's news to me.
What effect does that news have on you?
It's a bit sudden. It makes me feel that I want to know what is behind all of them books here.
Can you come tomorrow, 5 o'clock?
Not for seven, miss. 6 miles to walk.
7, then. That will be all. Good night.
Good night, Miss Moffat.
Are you the one I spanked?
I am the one, Miss Moffat.
Miss Wanderley, Mr. Jones, come in here.
Yes?
Oh, I feel such a fool. It doesn't matter about the barn next door. We'll start the school here in this room. Hang the squire. I'm going to get those boys out of that mine if I have to black my face and set them up from the pit myself. Ring the bell, Mr. Jones.
The bell, Miss Moffat?
Ring it. I want the squire to hear it clear to Tetherby Hall. And when I walk in the dark, I can touch with my hand where the corn is green.
Don Knotts here, and I'd like to do a flashy commercial on boating. Music, please. Don't forget to fill out your federal postcard application correctly. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Act two of The Corn is Green, starring Claudette Colbert as Miss Moffat and Cameron Mitchell as Morgan Evans, with Margaret Brewster as Mrs. Watty. 2 years have gone by. Miss Moffat's school has become an accepted part of the little Welsh village, although still without the blessing of the squire. And the most promising student is the young coal miner, Morgan Evans.
I have my history summation, Miss Moffat.
9 pages, and I told you 6. And for heaven's sake, Evans, what's your spelling?
Yes, Miss Moffat.
Have you got those lines of Voltaire?
I think so, Miss Moffat.
Then go for your walk now. Good and brisk, and be back in an hour.
Yes, Miss Moffat.
And take your pen from behind your ear.
Sit up in bed, Evans. That's a nice boy. Turn a somersault.
Shut up. Shut up or I'll knock your block off. You let me alone, Bessie.
Miss Moffat, all this ordering you about. I think you're getting sick of it.
Am I? Or what else do you think?
I think that when she tells you to take a walk, you don't take a walk. I think you stop in the village, standing up at the bar, drinking rum.
Right, aren't you? But why don't you tell her then? Because that's just where I'm going now. What o'clock, Miss Moffat? No sign of Morgan?
I sent him for a walk, Mr. Jones. Brush the cobwebs from his mind and get him a chance to memorize his Voltaire. Oh, I hope he's not going to be slow at French.
2 years ago, we scarcely knew English.
That's the wonder of it, Miss Ronberry. Morgan Evans has the most brilliantly receptive mind I've ever come across. Don't tell him so, but... Is that you, Bessie? I thought you were in your room studying.
I don't feel good.
Oh, poor Bessie. Come here, dear.
It's all this sitting down, Miss Ronberry. Studying at a desk. For 2 years now. I heard it ends in everything rotting away.
What's rotting away?
Bessie says she's been sitting down for 2 years.
She's lucky. What are these letters from?
More bills, I fear.
Oh, the new desks and that suit for Evans. Well, I'll sell a couple more shares of stock.
Oh, not again.
Why not? It's easy. Oh, Bessie Watty, what is this dying duck business?
All these lessons is bad for my inside.
What's the matter with your inside?
It goes round and round through sitting down.
There is nothing to prevent you from going for walks between lessons. You can go for one right now to the post office. Well, go on.
I'm not going.
What did you say?
I'm not going. Everybody's against me. I'm going to throw myself off a cliff and kill myself.
Blood, this girl, mark my words.
Bessie, you're going upstairs. And next week, you're going to leave this house and go to work.
You word, Evans. Mark, Miss Moffat, out of the window, look. The squire's carriage. The squire?
Then he has come.
It is the squire.
But he hasn't been here since that dreadful evening 2 years ago.
Oh, I behaved more stupidly that night than I ever have in my life. And that's saying something.
Now, run, both of you.
But why is he here?
All I can tell you, it has to do with Evans, and it's vital I make the right impression.
What sort of an impression?
Helpless and clinging. Oh, quickly, Ron, just disappear.
Why, how wonderfully kind of you to stop by.
Well, you wrote me a note, you know. Not here to be insulted again, though. Call me an addle-headed nincompoop, you know.
Oh, how can you ever forgive me?
Don't know as I have.
Oh, tell me, Squire, how did your prize-winning play at the croquet this afternoon?
A lot of ball, you know.
But I heard you make such an amusing speech.
Oh, did they tell you about that?
Yes.
I thought Griffith the butcher was going to laugh his fool napper off.
Do you know that makes me rather proud?
Proud? Why?
Because Griffith the butcher would not have understood a word if his little girls hadn't learned English here at my school.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Oh, dear.
Headache.
Squire, you see before you a tired woman. We live and learn. And I have learned how right you were that night.
Oh, but I heard you were a spitting success here.
No, no. You see, in one womanly enthusiasm, one forgets that the qualities vital to success are intelligence, courage, and authority. In short, Squire, the qualities of a man.
Oh, come, after all, you meant well, I suppose.
It's so kind of you to say that, and I have no right to burden you. But you see, my problem is one of your younger tenants, one of your former miners.
Giving you trouble, eh? What's he been up to? Poaching?
Oh, no.
It's a muslin.
Muslin?
The little Cockney filly, perhaps.
Oh, but Bessie Watty! Oh, no! Oh, no, I assure you. No, the problem is just Morgan Evans himself. And like a true woman, Squire, I have to scream to you for help.
Scream away, dear lady, scream away.
Well, he's clever. To begin with, he can write. He was born with very exceptional gifts, and they must be... They ought to be given every chance.
You mean he might turn into a literary bloke?
He might, yes.
I'm blown. How'd you know?
By his work. It's very good.
How'd you know it's good?
How does one know Shakespeare's good?
Shakespeare? What's he got to do with it?
Well, he was a literary bloke, too. This young tenant of yours has it in him to bring great credit to you, Squire. Imagine if you could say that you had known, well, say, Shakespeare as a boy on your estate.
Rather a mark, what?
Just look in this book, Squire, the inscription. To the Right Honorable Earl of Southampton, your honors in all duties, William Shakespeare. I often think of the pride that surged in the Earl's bosom when his encouragement to Shakespeare gave birth to the masterpiece of a poor and humble writer.
Oh, well, if the boy's really clever, it's a pity for me not to do something about it, huh?
A great pity. And I can tell you exactly how you can do something about it.
Buzz on, dear teacher, buzz.
Well, there's a scholarship open.
Oh.
A scholarship to Oxford.
Oxford?
They've agreed to allow Morgan Evans to compete on one condition that you vouch for him.
My dear lady, you take the cake. Oxford. Can't he be just as clever at home?
No, he can't. The sort of future he could have... The background of university is absolutely essential.
Varsity? Hang it all, he'll never get it.
Oh, but he must have the chance.
Still, the mere prospect of one of my minors...
Think of Shakespeare, Squire, the Earl.
All serene, dear lady, all serene. I'll drop a line to those Oxford chefs next week. Robin, what? I must be off.
Oh, I should be most obliged if you wrote the letter tomorrow. Wouldn't you like me to draft a recommendation? You must be so busy with
well,
so many
I am. Rather, poker supper tomorrow night, you know. Yes, do that. Goodbye, dear lady.
Oh, thank you so very much, Squire.
Happier conditions and all that. Glad you've come to your senses.
Come in now. Ron, that man is so stupid, it sits on his head like a halo. What happened? In 5 minutes, I have given the squire the impression that he spends his whole time fostering genius in the illiterate. I'm entering our pit pony for a scholarship, Ron. Oxford. Hallelujah!
Martha.
Oh, come in, Evans. Well, I'm starting you on Greek next Monday.
Greek?
You'll need it. Evans, I'm putting you in for a scholarship at Oxford.
Oxford? Where the lords go?
The same. Oh, and Evans, this is the nail file I mentioned. I'll show you how to use it.
I shall not need Greek or a nail file in a coal mine.
In the coal mine?
I'm going back to the mine. I do not want to learn Greek, nor to pronounce any long English words, nor to keep my hands clean.
What's the matter with you? Why not?
Because I was born in a Welsh airfield when my mother was helping with the harvest. And I always lived in a house with no stairs, only a ladder and no water. And until my brothers was killed, I never sleep except three in a bed. Now, I know that's terrible grammar, but it's true.
What on earth has three in a bed got to do with learning Greek?
It has a lot. A lot. Trying to better myself. You cannot take a nail file in a public bar, Miss Moffat.
I never heard anything so ridiculous. Besides, you don't go to a public bar.
Yes, I do. Every afternoon for a week, spending your pocket money.
I had no idea you felt like this.
Because you are not interested in me.
Not interested in you?
Miss Moffat, how can you be interested in a machine that you put a penny in and if nothing come out, you give it a shake? Evans, write me an essay. Evans, get up and bow. Evans, what's the subjunctive? Do you know what they call me in the village, no? The school teacher's little dog. What has it got to do with you if my nails are dirty? You mind your own business.
I never meant you to know this. I have spent money on you. I don't mind that money should be spent. But time is different. When you're as old as I am, 2 years is valuable currency. I have spent 2 years on you. Ever since that first day, the mainspring of this school has been your career. Sometimes in the middle of the night when I have been desperately tired, I've lain awake making plans, large and small, sensible and silly. Plans for you. And you tell me I have no interest in you. If I say any more, I shall start to cry. I haven't cried since I was younger than you are, and I'd never forgive you for that. I'm going for a walk. I don't like this sort of conversation. If you want to go on, be at school tomorrow. There's not doubt.
I don't want your money, and I don't want your time, and I don't want to be thankful to no strange woman for nothing.
I don't understand you. I don't understand you at all.
So Miss Moffat has gone for a walk. I said, so Miss Moffat is gone for a walk.
I don't feel like talking.
I heard you and her.
Mind your own business.
I won't. I like to know about everything. I like doing all the things I like. I'm going away soon. Miss Moffat's sending me away.
Why?
Will you miss me, Morgan?
I don't know.
You know, he was quite right to put her in a place. Clever chap like you, learning lessons off a woman.
That's right.
You don't have to go to Oxford. Clever chap like you.
That's right.
What a man wants is a bit of sympathy.
Come here.
Yes, Morgan.
Last autumn after that dreadful scene with Miss Moffat.
It was a ram, Miss. Just a ram.
Oh, dear me. The squire should be here by now.
So what's the squire coming for?
To invigilate, of course.
What was that, please, Miss?
The university appointed the squire in Miss Moffat to watch him so he cannot cheat.
What a shame.
Oh, I almost forgot. For you, Mrs. Watty, a card from Bessie.
Oh, again.
But she's been gone for weeks. Do you not miss her, Mrs. Watty?
No. I don't like her, you know. Never have.
But your own daughter.
I know, but I've just never been able to take to her. very first time I saw her, I said, no.
Well, it stopped snowing, Ron. We should be here soon, Morgan and McGuire.
Oh, Miss Lockett, would it not be splendid if he won?
2 years isn't enough, Ron. Not even for him. He'll have strong candidates against him, boys from good schools. It all depends on how much the examiners will appreciate a highly original intelligence.
But wouldn't it be exciting?
It would be a wonderful thing for him. It would be a wonderful thing for rural education all over the country.
And most of all, it would be a wonderful thing for you.
You know, I woke up in the middle of the night thinking about Henry VIII. I have a feeling there may be a question about the old boy and the papacy. I'd better cram one or two facts into him before he starts.
Oh, he must win it. He must.
Miss Moffat?
Yes, Mr. Jones?
He's come back, Miss Moffat. Betsy, she's here.
Aren't I there?
Oh, but it cannot be. Your mother just received a card.
Well, Betsy, this is unexpected.
Isn't it just?
Your mother's in the kitchen.
Who's there to see Mum?
Then why are you here?
Questions and answers, just like school again. You I've come to see.
Perhaps we had better retire to the study, Miss Rumbery.
Oh, yes.
Very well, Betsy. I can give you exactly 1 minute of my time.
Why?
Morgan Evans is sitting for his Oxford examination this morning.
Well, he needn't. He won't ever be going to Oxford.
And why not?
Because there's going to be a little stranger. I'm going to have a little stranger.
You're lying.
And if you don't believe it's Morgan Evans, you just ask him. Ask him about that time you locked me up. The night you had words with him.
Oh.
Ordering him about it if he has no human feelings. You just ask him.
Why couldn't I have seen before? Does he know?
I've come to tell him. And he'll have to marry me, of course, or I'll show him up. After all, the little stranger...
Stop saying little stranger. If you're going to have a baby, then call it a baby. Have you told anybody?
Mr. Jones is all.
Why is coming up the road with Morgan?
I'll wait for him here.
You listen to me. For the next 3 hours, Morgan Evans is not going to be disturbed. You're not going to see him.
You can't bully me the way I am. Hasn't sunk in yet, has it? I'm teaching you something, am I?
You are going into the kitchen, Bessie, to see your mother. You will then go upstairs, and as soon as the examination is finished, we will talk it all over when we're a little more calm.
He's here. I got to see it.
If you try to disobey me, if you mention this to anybody before we've had that talk, even your mother, I shall strike you so hard that I shall probably kill you. I mean every word of that.
I don't mind. 3 hours will go soon enough.
Nobody home.
Oh, Squire, oh, I'm so sorry. How kind of you. It's such a dreadful day.
Not at all, Mrs. Pedagog. Anything for a law.
Sit down, Morgan. The questions are in this envelope. Now, before I break the seal, I have a feeling they may bring up Henry VIII. I've written down a couple of dates. Here, memorize them.
Yes, Miss Moffat. Glad it isn't me. Really quite stupid, you know.
Please, Squire. Now, Morgan, just don't get exuberant.
No.
Nor illegible.
No. But aren't you going to wish my protege good fortune?
Good luck.
Thank you.
Ready?
Ready.
This is your examination. Go to work.
Miss Moffat.
Yes?
The very first question. Henry the Eighth.
Oh, no. We'll be hearing Act 3 of The Corn is Green in a moment. You know, I read a story some time ago that made me realize that there can be heroes of peace as well as heroes of war. It was about a husky MP in Tokyo, name of Earl S. Whitney, Jr. He'd been supporting two war orphans, a Chinese and a Japanese, for 3 years on a private pay. He took little Fan Tung, aged 13, under his wing first when the Chinese lad began hanging around the Tokyo base. Whitney rented a place for Fan Tung and took over the duties of a father. Then Hiroyama Kyokichi, aged 15, came along, and Whitney spread the other wing for him.
For 3 years, he fed, educated, maintained, and clothed the fair. And then he took on a night job in a service club to earn some extra change. He needed it. His army pay was $111.90 a month, and he spent about $100 a month on his two kids. He called the boys Mickey and Jimmy Whitney and hoped that someday they'd all wind up at his home back in Southern California. But in the meantime, even though he was only a private in the army, he was a real hero to those two war orphans. And it all goes to prove that such acts by you and your friends today are shaping our world of tomorrow.
It's midsummer now. 7 months since Morgan Evans took the examination for Oxford. 7 months since Betsy Watty suddenly returned and just as suddenly disappeared again without seeing Morgan. All week, Morgan's been far from the village, in Oxford, waiting word of his success or failure.
How can you be so calm, Mr. Jones? Don't you know the whole village is down at the railway to meet him?
It's true.
Oh, if he hasn't won, it will break her heart.
She would feel as so keen as all that.
I used not to think so. But since his examination day, they have been so much better friends. It has been a pleasure just to hear them conversing. Any news, Mr. Jones?
Not yet, Miss Moffat. Where's the squire? To the railway, but with the rest of them.
You do not appear nervous.
I'm past being nervous, Ron. If he has won, I shan't believe it flatly.
And if he has lost?
If he has lost, we must proceed as if nothing has happened. Meantime, Mr. Jones, your report is on your desk. This one very form, too, waiting for you.
Yes, Miss Moffat.
I knew they'd be watching for me, so I got off at Sunmorford.
Does that mean...
I have no news, one way or another, except I'm no longer hopeful.
Oh, why not?
Well, they talked to me for hours. Oral examinations. They jumped down hard on the New Testament, as you said. You are very pale.
Better than a raging fever. Go on.
Well, I spent 10 minutes explaining why St. Paul sailed from a town 300 miles inland.
Oh, dear. And the French?
Not good. I said, naturellement, to everything, but it did not fit every time.
Did the president send for you?
He did. He asked if I had ever had strong drink, and I looked him straight in the eye and said, no. I was terribly nervous. My collar flew open. He didn't seem impressed with me at all. And then as I was leaving, he appeared to be sorry for me in some way. And I received the impression that I failed.
When shall we know?
Today, tomorrow, the next day. They'll send you the word. Failed. What can I even talk about?
But we must talk about it. You faced the idea of failure the day you left for Oxford.
But no, I've been to Oxford and come back from the world. Since the day I was born, I've been a prisoner behind a stone wall. And now somebody has given me a leg up to have a look at the other side. They cannot drag me back again. They cannot. They must give me a push and send me over.
I've never heard you talk so much since I've known you.
That's just it. I can talk now. The 3 days I've been there, I've been talking my head off. My second night there, I took a walk. There was a moon up. Not the same moon I've seen here. A different face altogether. All of a sudden, with one big rush against that moon, I saw this place again. You and I were sitting here studying. And all those books and everything I've ever learned from those books and from you was lighted up like a magic lantern. Rome, Greece, Shakespeare, Carlyle, Milton, everything. Everything had a meaning because I was in a new world. And so it came to me why you worked like a slave to make me ready for this scholarship. I have finished.
I didn't want you to stop.
I have not been drinking, Miss Moffat.
I know.
I can talk to you too now.
Yes, I'm glad.
finding this waiting a definite strain, telling the lad they'll send the results through the post. Where is he? Still eating?
And Miss Moffat says, please no questions till he's through.
Whenever that will be, the young man will starve to... Hello!
Betty, just as I feared.
How'd you do?
And how are you, Squire? Blooming.
What to do?
Betty, 3 days ago, she sent money to you. Did you not receive the letter?
Yes, I did. And all the others, till I was sick of them.
What is all this?
I'm here to congratulate a certain young gent in case he's won that scholarship.
Oh, no.
What has that got to do with you? You see, Miss Rodney,
it's like this. Please, don't say it.
4 weeks ago yesterday, I had a baby.
You had a what?
Baby. 7 pounds, 9 ounces.
Good heavens, how ghastly.
But I just come for the... Hello, Mum.
My, you do look a dolly mop. And where have you been all these months and doing what, I'd like to know?
Turning you into a granny.
A granny? Well, thanks.
He's coming, Miss Moffat.
So close the door, Morgan, and have a good sleep. Later we can...
Hello, Miss Moffat. I've just been telling him, you know what.
Now I think it's time you told us who the fellow is. Proceedings, that's what. I will take proceedings.
That's right, Bessie. Who is it?
Listen to me, Bessie. I'll pay you anything. Anything.
It's no good, Miss Moffat. It's Morgan Evans.
What? I don't believe it.
Oh, ma'am.
I've been dreading this for months. In a way, it's a relief.
Well, where is he? I got a 4-week-old baby, and I haven't got a husband to keep him.
I'll call him.
There's no need to call him. I am willing to marry her, bestowing on the infant every advantage by bringing it up as a Baptist.
You'd like that, Miss Moffat, wouldn't you?
Oh, I'd like to oblige, really, but I couldn't. Besides, my friends would be furious.
Your friend? Ever such a nice gentleman, Mom, quite as well.
I have never heard such a conversation outside a police court.
I suppose you wouldn't care to marry me.
Good question.
Doesn't this friend of yours want to marry you?
Don't talk of anything else. Only he won't have the baby. So I've decided to give up my friend and marry Morgan Evans. Unless Mr. Jones would consider the baby without me.
The baby without you? Your own child? What about your mother, Lois?
I haven't got any, didn't you know?
Oh, what a thing to say. I cannot remain here another minute.
You want to make Morgan Evans marry you on the chance he will become fond enough of the child to ensure its future. Then your conscience will be clear, and later you can go off on your own.
I shouldn't be surprised at all.
Meanwhile, it's worthwhile to ruin a boy on the threshold of... Oh, there must be a way out. There must be.
And bless us, Mum, I got it.
What?
Why can't you adopt it?
This is what it don't be with me.
Would that do you, Bessie? Would it?
Yes, it would.
But what would I do with a baby? I don't even know what they look like.
Oh, they're lovely little things. Now it's all arranged.
Oh, stop it. This is what he sent.
Oh, do please. It'd put everything to rights. He might grow up like his father, you know, and turn out quite nice.
But it's mad. You're the grandmother, Watty, surely.
Oh, I couldn't. Now, I don't bear it no ill will, but every penny I get goes to the corpse. You're the one, dear. Really, you are.
Bessie Watty, you mean that if I do not adopt this child...
I will have to tell Morgan Evans and he will have to marry me. I swear that.
And if I do...
Then I swear he'll never know a thing about it.
Then I give in.
Oh, that's lovely. My friend will be pleased.
Well, I'll toddle along then and we'll arrange details later, shall we?
I only did it to spite you, you know.
Well, that's tickle.
For which we must be very truly thankful. For which... And Morgan?
Has she gone?
Why?
The squire just told me.
Oh,
he thought I knew. Then he said it was for the best that I ought to be told. Why? Why should this happen?
There is no need for you to upset yourself. But Moffat is going to take care of the...
What?
I am going to adopt it.
And what do you take me for?
Then what would you like to do?
What would I like to do? It's not a question of what I would like to do. It's what I'm going to do. I'm going to marry her, and that's final.
I knew this would happen. Answer it, Watty. No.
No, I'll go. It may be the squire, and I don't want him here. Oh, thank you. It's a telegram. Come on. You have won the scholarship, Morgan.
Come along with me, Mr. Jones, and I'll make you a lovely cup of tea.
Oh, what's the use in women?
Morgan, now look at me. If ever anybody has stood at the crossroads, you are now.
It's no use, Miss Moffat. I'm going to marry her.
I'm going to stick you very simply, Morgan. I want you to change suddenly from a boy to a man. Now, I understand this is a great shock to you, but I want you to throw off this passionate obstinacy to do the right thing. Did you ever promise her marriage?
No, no, never.
Did you ever tell her that you loved her?
No, no, but it makes no difference. There is a child living and breathing on this earth because of me, and I cannot turn from that fact.
But don't you know that she has her own plans and she doesn't want the child? If you marry her, you know what will happen, don't you? You will go back to the mine. In a year, she will have left you both. You will be drinking again, and this time you will not stop.
That does not alter the fact that I have a duty to them both.
Yes, you have a duty. But it's not to this loose little lady.
You mean a duty to you?
No. A year ago, I might have said a duty to me. But that night you showed your teeth, you gave me a lot to think about. You caught me unaware, and I gave you the worst possible answer back. I turned sorry for myself and taunted you with ingratitude. Yes, I was a fool not to realize that a debt of gratitude is the most humiliating debt of all. That a little show of affection would have wiped it out. Morgan, I offer you that affection today.
Why are you saying this to me, Noel?
Because as the moments are passing and I am going to get my way, I know that I'm never going to see you again.
Never again? But why?
If you're not to marry her, it would be madness for you to come in contact with the child. So if I'm adopting the child, you can never come to see me. Common sense, Morgan. You've been given the push over the wall you asked for.
But you will be staying here. Oh, can I never come back after everything you've done for me?
Morgan, every morning when I take my walk, up there where the valley suddenly drops sheer, you know the place?
Yes.
I have found myself thinking of you, working for this scholarship and winning it. And I have experienced a feeling of complete happiness. I shall experience it again. You have no duty to me, Morgan. Your only duty is to the world.
The world?
Now that you're going, there's no harm in telling you something. I don't think you realize what your future can become if you give it a chance. You could become a great man of our country. If a light come into the mine, you said, remember?
Yes.
Make that light come into the mine and someday free the children. And Morgan, you could be more, much more. You could be a man for a future nation to be proud of. Perhaps I'm mad. I don't know. It's up to you.
I do not know what to say. I have been so much time in this room.
The lessons are over, Morgan.
I shall always remember.
Well, I'm glad you think you will.
Please, Miss Moffitt.
Yes, Edward?
The band is out, and Miss P. Morgan got to come to town hall.
Jim Jones.
No, please, man, please. They never forgive you.
Goodbye, Morgan.
I am so... I cannot talk.
Yes, Warren. It's all over.
Jones, this is the same day off. Mr. Morgan, done, stop, plain as usual.
Yes, 9 o'clock. Same as usual.
Our stars will return. Letters that come to this show from servicemen bear postmarks from all over the world, and it's plain to see that they're having a wonderful opportunity to observe new customs and traditions among people of other lands. They're finding out, too, that these ideas of other people aren't so strange after all. For instance, in Fécamp in northern France, most of the men of the village are fishermen. Before venturing out to sea, they gather in the Notre Dame de Salut Church to make their devotions, seeking divine guidance for a successful trip and safe return. Benediction services are held also in other parts of France, in England and Newfoundland, in Greece and Italy. They're of a religious nature, but fishermen are pretty superstitious, too. Many of them will refuse to join a ship that doesn't have a mascot, and some refuse to sail on certain days or when the tide is running a certain way. I just don't think it'll be lucky for them. Well, all this might sound strange, but as our servicemen have observed, we have our own traditions about the sea. In some cases, these are religious, too, such as the services that are held in San Diego and Wilmington, California, at New Orleans and other fishing centers of Louisiana. We have other customs as far as luck is concerned. The christening of a ship by breaking a bottle of wine or water over its bow. The carrying of a dog, cat, or other animal as a mascot. And the ritual still exists when crossing the equator of initiating the first timers, introducing them to King Neptune, the royal chaplain, the surgeon, the barber, and the royal baby. It's an enduring custom that dates back into antiquity, when men in all seriousness paid homage to the sea gods. These things are part of our culture, and they have their equivalents among the customs and traditions of other people. The way of doing things may be different, but the ideals are the same. And our servicemen are helping to maintain goodwill between us and the people of other countries by observing these customs, by learning about them, and by honoring them. Now, here's Mr. Kerry Wilson with our stars.
And we welcome them back to the footlights, Claudette Colbert and Cameron Mitchell. Claudette, I really am impressed. 24 appearances on the radio theater. Did you repeat some of your pictures several times?
No. The only picture we ever repeated was Family Honeymoon. I did that twice.
Well, I'm not only impressed, Kerry, I'm completely discouraged. Imagine starring in all those pictures.
But your career is zooming ahead, Cam. Let me tell you about next week's play. It's the light-hearted, romantic adventure of a glamorous young model who finds her entire life rearranged by a chance encounter with a marriage broker. Yes, it's that hilarious hit from 20th Century Fox, The Model and the Marriage Broker.